6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us on the first day of school, and real school returns today, Malcolm Thomas in Scambia Superintendent. Superintendent, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew.
And by the way, welcome back for the last first of your career. We might talk about that a little bit.
Well, oh, I know.
How does it feel to know this is the
last 40 of them?
How does it feel to know this is the last first day of school for you as superintendent?
I haven't thought about it much. It's certainly not the way I planned or thought this last one would be, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get off to a good start today, and we're going to reset our school system and how to provide education, whether it's traditional, remote, or virtual to our students.
Yeah, I know we were getting our son ready today, and I saw an article in the paper, and I resonated with me because our kids are on crazy sleep schedules, having been off school for 5 months. Is that something that you're anticipating is going to be a challenge for kids getting back to just the regular schedule?
I think it's always a problem at the beginning of the year for both staff and our children. You're trying to reset that schedule, and for the first week or two, it's a bit difficult. Now, the first days, you've got all that adrenaline. People are pumped. They want to go to the first day of school, meet their teacher, meet their new students. Probably about Wednesday or Thursday of this week is when all of that begins to hit. And so it's important that parents begin to put them back on a school schedule. That means going to bed at a normal time, not staying up late at night, watching movies or playing on a computer. Just reacclimate them back to a normal school life.
What do you want parents who are listening to know this morning? And by the way, you've done a very good job of putting out information and, you know, reassuring people. And even yesterday, putting out the phone call, making sure everybody knew that school was still going to happen. Laura and Marco are not going to affect us. What do you want parents to know this morning as they're getting their kids ready for school?
Well, this school year, beyond all school years, is a partnership with our parents. We can never make it without you, but this year we desperately need you to be an active partner with us. If your student is in face-to-face learning and they're sick, they have a temperature, they're not feeling well, we're going to ask that you keep them at home. Their absence will be excused. We'll work out getting their assignments and their work to them, but we don't want to take any chance that students that are positive with COVID or have any exposure are going to come to school. That's just going to, you know, continue to add to the disruption on our campuses. We're seeing the same thing to our teachers and our staff. If they're sick, they need to stay home. We're going to try to keep our schools pretty secure. We're not allowing visitors and volunteers inside. So the only people that get in are those that are essential, the employees and the students. And you can help us by making sure when you send your student that they're healthy and well and that they don't have any potential sickness.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of focus on things like cleaning of the school buses and cleaning of the classrooms and eating in the, a lot of times anyway, eating in the classroom, grab and go instead of buffet style and on and on. And also, those are all important things. But what I hear you saying is that the most important part of keeping each other safe in this environment is that when kids are sick, they need to stay home. That parents are really, really on the hook this year for keeping everybody else safe.
Absolutely. I mean, we can talk about 6-foot distance and wearing face coverings and all those things that we've talked about for the last couple of months, but there's no substitute for the fact that if you don't feel well or you think you have a fever, stay off the campus. That is the best thing you could do for everyone involved.
What kind of plans do you have in place for, and because we know it's going to happen, there are going to be students who test positive. What are the plans in place for when that happens, like in a classroom?
Well, there's a protocol each case will be investigated and looked at. We're keeping seating charts both on the bus and in a classroom, so that we know who is within close proximity of every other person in the room. And so the health department will be our partner with our school nurses and our health service department. Once they determine what's going on, who was where, then they will tell us who has to be isolated or quarantined, and we'll notify the families of that, and then we'll also provide general announcements to the overall school population, not so that people would be afraid or panic, but just to let them know that we've had this situation and we're going to manage it to the best of our ability.
Are we going to be able to do, I know sports has been an ongoing conversation, are we going to be able to do clubs and regular activities that are very social by their nature, and especially given that a lot of our students are going to be in remote learning?
Well, we're going to hold up on that for the first 9 weeks or so. And I say 9 weeks, we'll probably revisit that about 6 weeks in. I think our priority at the moment is to, let's start school. Let's get our legs under us. Let's make sure that the system that we planned and put in place, that it's working. Let's take away all the pressures we can take away. And then as we get into the school year, if it looks like we're managing well, then we can come back and we can add things like clubs, extracurricular activities, volunteers, mentors, all those other components that we know have value, they're important. But we're going to have to layer them back into our school year this year.
Yeah, so starting, you know, make sure that the basic engine runs and then add the extras and the frills. And not that they're not essential, but they're not as essential as just getting the kids in school and getting the education accomplished. We're talking to Superintendent Malcolm Thomas on his last first day of school here in the fall, because obviously we'll have an appointed superintendent coming up very soon. How is staffing looking? Have you had any staffing shortages? You know, we know there's been some issues in Santa Rosa County because of so many students going over to homeschooling, but, and, you know, we had been concerned about some teachers maybe not wanting to teach in this environment. What have you seen with staffing this semester?
Well, I think at the moment we're fine. We're going to know a lot more over the next 8-10 days. We did have a large number, I'm saying a large number, a couple of thousand students, about 7% of our students that we have not been able to contact over the summer. We're hoping that some of those students are going to show up and just appear as a traditional student, but we don't know that.
Okay.
If it turns out that those students do not come to school, then we're probably overstaffed. We'll manage through that, not by laying off. We will keep the people we have. We're going to need all the resources that we have at the moment to make sure we can pull off these three options, the traditional, the remote, the virtual. And then we'll use attrition over the next semester to right-size that staffing. So we're not going to panic on that. We're going to take it as it goes. And just because we don't have students now doesn't mean that those students won't migrate back to us over the next couple of months.
Right. Very good. Superintendent Malcolm Thomas, you have been talking with parents and interacting with them and working on this for months now. This is one of those cases where I may not know the best question to ask. What is the question or concern that you have been fielding the most often?
Over the last couple of months, probably the most frequently asked question is, can you tell me which option I should choose for my child? And the answer to that is not one the superintendent can provide. What we've tried to do is provide options for families. We can help you understand each of those options, but you're going to have to examine your own family, your own situation, and determine what you think is best for your student. We've always believed in school choice in Escambia County. This year, we kind of took it to the next level because parents were able to choose not only where their student would go, but how they would attend school. And that's been very different for parents, and for some, it's been perplexing. We tried to answer their questions to the best of our ability. I am sure there will be some that will start in one option or the other and find out that's not going to work for them. I'll work with our school. We'll do the right thing. We've always been here to serve our boys and girls, and we're going to always try to find the right spot for them.
How what were the final percentages of the respondents in terms of traditional, remote, or virtual? Do you have that offhand?
We're sitting right at 50% coming face-to-face traditional.
Okay.
And then you have about 43-44%. Are coming with remote, and about 7% going virtual.
Okay.
So that's kind of the breakdown of those that have made the choice, and then that may change as some of that, there's about 7% that did not make a choice at all. And they'll probably fit someplace over the next couple of days.
And then how large will the remote learning classes be? I mean, it's really good for in-person that we have reduced population for social distancing, but it was my understanding that the remote learning environment would allow for a slightly larger or maybe substantially larger classes.
It will, and it's really going to, that's going to vary school by school.
Okay.
Depending on how many students they have in particular grades. So you'll see it be a little larger in some schools than others. But again, we're still not trying to overload a teacher with remote. Now, a remote teacher certainly can take on probably, 30 students, where an in-person teacher, we're trying to keep them below 15 if possible.
All right, very good. And last thing, and this is more of a, sort of a congratulatory note of sorts. Obviously, we appreciate your serving as superintendent, and you're not done yet. But I'll just tell you, one of the things that continues to come back to me is a couple years ago when the school district made the decision to go to everybody having a Chromebook, I don't think anybody at that time, and correct me if I'm wrong, was thinking this is great in case there's a pandemic. But, oh, my God, this has turned out to be great in case there was a pandemic, as we're seeing a 5 million laptop shortfall across the country. School districts cannot get the technology they need that we've had in place for a couple of years.
No, it was never intended for this, but it was intended to prepare us for the future, and that it did accomplish. And so when others are scrambling for devices, we're spending our time improving our training for our teachers to use those devices to deliver the instruction. So it's a good spot to be in, and it certainly has accelerated our Vision 2020 plan.
Absolutely. Superintendent Malcolm Thomas, Escambia Superintendent, thank you so much for the time this morning. Thanks for what you do, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.